One thing that keeps coming to mind for me, I like visual images, and the thing that I keep thinking about is that each person is kind of like a conductor, so to speak, of that mm-hmm. soul energy.
Right.
But if we have not dealt with all of our past baggage and all of that stuff, it seems like that's going to create, it's kind of like it won't conduct the flow as well. And so, what? Exactly, all of that stuff. And so this, you know, past 8 or 9 months, I've been really working on that, and I'm seeing how I'm getting a better flow just in my own life because I'm clearing out all that stuff. And so my question is earlier you had mentioned that in that moment, if people are centered in their soul, then you can get that flow going. But it seems to me like on a more ongoing basis to maintain that flow, we, like, each unit needs to be clearing out all of its junk.
Okay,
can you comment on that?
Yeah, I'll comment on that.
Okay.
That's a good question. You don't have to be perfect. After all, Judas wasn't perfect, and the molecule worked somewhat before Jesus was crucified and resurrected. So even with Judas in there, it worked until he betrayed the group. And Judas, we know, was a flawed individual. Of course, the rest of them were too. One time, a city rejected the apostles, and I think as James and John came to Jesus and says, well, remember a story of Elijah where he brought fire down out of heaven? He says, you know, you're greater than Elijah, so this city has rejected us, so let's bring fire down out of heaven and just consume the whole thing. That'll teach him a lesson. Does anyone know what Jesus said to him? He says, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are. He says, the Son of Man came not to destroy, but to save. Okay? Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are. Okay? So, Greg made the interesting point that the manifestation didn't seem to be as strong when Jesus was here as when he left. In other words, they cleared out some of their baggage of wrong belief. A lot of their wrong beliefs got straightened out so they could be a better conduit. On the other hand, you don't have to be perfect. No, nobody in the initiating molecule will be perfect. If you are suffering through enormous guilt, that has to be taken care of. When it talks about Jesus saving us, what he came to save us from was our guilt. More than anything, people think, well, he came to save us, so he's going to snap his fingers on the save, and they're going to go to heaven. That's not the way it works. He came to save us from our sins. What a sin means is an error. A sin is an error in judgment, an error in action. Okay, the biggest error that people made in the days of Jesus was the guilt. And when he said to them, thy sins are forgiven thee, and now you're going to be healed, he was saying that, really, he was telling them that their disease was caused by their tremendous guilt. And by releasing them of guilt, he made it possible for the energy to flow through them so they could be healed. Guilt is a tremendous destroyer. It's a tremendous deception. And if you do something wrong, there's no reason to feel guilt. What you should feel instead was, you calculate that you did something wrong and now you're going to do it better. The Greek word for sin is the same word that the Greeks used to shoot an arrow at a target. If they shot an arrow at a target and they missed, that was the Greek word for sin. Now, can you imagine shooting an arrow at a target and you miss the target? Can you imagine you think, oh, I'm not worthy to shoot again. I have to go through a period of penance for 30 days, and then I can come shoot again, but not till I whip myself or something like that, okay? Nobody does that. The archer doesn't do. What does the archer do when he shoots an arrow at a target and misses?
Fires again.
He grabs another arrow right away, and he thinks, I'm going to make it this time. And that's the attitude we should have when we make a mistake, rather than feeling guilt. And this is what Jesus came to save us from, is that guilt. That tremendous guilt is a big weight on the soul of all people. It takes us away from our soul because we don't feel like we're worthy of the presence. If you don't feel like you're worthy of the presence, then you will not seek the presence. And so by releasing the people of their guilt and realizing that when you make a mistake, you just pick up the arrow and you shoot again. You keep a trying until you get it right. And guilt puts a big space of time between the tries. If you can only shoot the arrow once a month because you go to do penance for the guilt, you're never going to be a good archer. If you can shoot the arrow and then pick up another one right away, you can become a good archer really fast. And the person that's free of guilt will progress many times faster than the person that is punishing himself with guilt. And so guilt is what Jesus came to save us from. So we don't have to be perfect. So this is why the apostles, even though they were flawed individuals, well, another flaw they had, I just comes to my mind, was Peter and or James and John were walking with Jesus, and they said that they wanted to be on his right hand in the kingdom of God. Heck with the other guys. And Jesus said to them, you're in error here. It's not for me to give you a position like that on the right hand of God or anything like that. He says you have to earn it on your own. So, they showed the flaws of regular human beings just like the rest of us. And then Peter grabs a sword at the Garden of Gethsemane, cuts off the guy's ear. Jesus said, put it away. And so he had to correct them quite a number of times that they did quite a few things wrong. They were far from perfect individuals. Yet they had a brotherhood, and they understood the principle of salvation, which was to release themselves from guilt. I think Peter probably had a period of guilt, though, after denying the Christ three times. That probably produced some guilt in the poor guy, because it was pretty grievous. The story is that a lot of people in the early Christian church give Peter a bad time about it. When he walked by them, people would crow like a rooster to remind him of his mistake that he made. And that would, if that was true, would have been quite a cross for old Peter to bear. And a lot of people were probably surprised that he was able to demonstrate so much power despite all the flaws that he had as an individual. So we want to work out all of our flaws, but you don't have to be perfect. But when you gather with your fellow individuals, put all thoughts of imperfection out of your mind and focus on the soul. Because the soul doesn't look on you as a flawed individual. It looks on you as a tool. And what the soul asks is this person an instrument that I can use at the present time? And when the apostles met together on the day of Pentecost, they had their flaws, but they were all one in thought. And because they were all one in thought, they were able to manifest the fire from heaven.